How many times have I started this off with that?
Blue pants!
Blue pants!
Not need to remind each and every citizen of Rapture that free enterprise is the foundation upon which our society has been established.
Everywhere you go, everything you do, it's always done for death, pain, and misery.
Our men are running from the battlefield. Shame for this place!
From Brandon Jones's house.
It's time for the Video Destruct Podcast. That was actually one of the best. It took us a bit, but that was actually one of the best entrance we ever did.
I feel like if, you know, most people who know us know that we stumble into things.
Yes, pretty regularly. So we figure we'd get one together pretty decently that time. All right, so we're back. We had a week break after our long Dreamcast Video Destruct Podcast time, which
Love the Dreamcast.
A lot of good responses on that. Thanks,
man,
guys.
Man, I love the Dreamcast.
A lot of people do, because there was a lot of good response for that one. So, got a lot of feedback for that, and really appreciate it, guys, because that was a good time. It was a good time. A lot of downloads for that one, so awesome. Awesome stuff.
I got a lot of good notes on the Shenmue.
Yeah.
The only notes I got on Twitter or anything like that from the Crazy Taxi was, man, you really like that game a lot. And I'll take that as a good thing.
I mean,
I guess that means I'm fairly well informed on it.
I like that.
So.
It does have one of the best albums ever on it, so, you know.
It does.
Ixnay the Hombre by The Offspring, that is...
I've been listening to, like, an oddly large amount of Bad Religion and Offspring since we did that. I am led to believe it's related.
Yeah, I mean, it's probably related in some way. Oh, man. But yeah, this week we're going to be talking about a mascot staple in video gaming.
A moment in time, if you will.
Yes, indeed. It's
a
weird.
Foundational moment for what was going to come in the future of video games.
And it's weird because he's kind of gone now. Like, you know, there's not
been
really
gone.
Been gone for a long time.
I don't
time.
Think a...
Crash Bandicoot.
I guess we'll stop speaking in cagey whatever's. I don't believe there's been a Crash Bandicoot video game since 2007.
Yeah.
That's
a long time ago. It doesn't feel like it, but that's a while.
Yeah.
Especially in video game years. That's basically dead franchise in that regard. So
yeah, it's
you know.
That was one of the franchises that got scooped up in the Vivendi.
Yeah,
merger.
The Vivendi merger, yep.
I believe that is a wholly owned Activision franchise.
Mm-hmm.
So we could have technically had a Skylanders Crash Bandicoot adventure instead of Skylanders Spyro's adventure.
Right, yeah. That's true.
But
maybe
yeah.
We still will see that. Who knows? they might shove Crash into the Skylanders era. Who knows? But we'll get to that later on in the episode when we talk about Crash Bandicoot and his history in video games. But right now, I'd like to talk a little bit about some news that hit.
I want to talk about Crunchyroll.
Do you? We're not sponsored by Crunchyroll. We're not sponsored by Crunchyroll. We're
it
not
just
talking
sounded
about
like
it.
We were transitioning into a commercial. Spot. If anybody wants to advertise on this podcast,
please send it on over.
I'll sell my soul.
We'll give you tens of people onto your product.
Literally
tens of people onto your product. Anyway, Kingdom Hearts announced the new title for their new game. What is that title again? Let's
Kingdom Hearts
Kingdom
HD,
Hearts HD
2.8 Final Chapter Prologue.
Yep, which is the dumbest title ever.
What the fuck?
What?
And it's not the first dumb fucking Kingdom Hearts. Like 358 over 2 days.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What the fuck? Chain of Memories? That's the normal one!
It's the normal one, is Chain of Memories. Yeah, it's just... It's like just pulling at so many strings, just trying to stretch this thing
Birth
out.
By Sleep?
Yeah. Was that a title of one
Fuck
of these?
Fuck yes, it was.
Oh, God. That sounds awful. They've stretched this out too long. Like, just call it Kingdom Hearts 3,
Kingdom
guys.
Hearts Sex by Sandwich.
It's really the dumbest title strings of all time, that series, that game series. It makes me not want to ever play them, ever. I played the first one and had a pretty decent time with it, but never, ever want to play those games, ever, after all that.
No.
Yeah, so that's all the news about that. That's real dumb. Also want
to
talk
I don't have anything else to say.
Yeah, nothing else to
talk
about.
I think it's like a cell phone game, and then I think like 358 over 2 days.
Yeah.
Maybe Birth by Sleep. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either.
Like, that came out of Tokyo Game Show, and I just plugged my nose to prevent all the blood from coming out of it.
But yeah, that's all for that. The only other bit, we got a bit more news here. The new Apple TV came out.
It's not hit the street
yet. It hasn't hit the street yet, no, but...
$150.
Yeah.
Seems a little high to me.
Mm-hmm.
Considering that, you know, you can... I guess if you buy, like, the Amazon Fire TV, like, the not the stick, the big one...
Yeah, the big one,
with the game controller, I think that's, like, $130.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, it's got that, it's got a lot of weird caveats that go with it. Like, it's got an app store now, which is great.
Right.
But apps can't be bigger than 200 megabytes.
Hmm.
I've got games on my phone right now that are bigger than 200 megabytes.
Yeah, I was about to say. That's
like, I think that Fallout game is like a gig.
Yeah.
That Fallout Shelter.
Fallout Shelter, yeah. It's like a big.
By the way, I need to fucking delete that. Like,
it's too expansive, too much time.
It was really funny for a while, like, it was chuckle-worthy,
right.
And at this point, like, I don't want to fucking do that. Like, I don't like cell phone games like that.
Right.
I don't like the, you've got to spend 5 minutes a day, and then after that it's just kind of diminishing returns.
Right.
You just kind of have to wait for time to pass, or you can give money!
Right.
Like, I don't like that.
Right.
That's never been the kind of, that's never been the kind of cell phone game I like. I'm a threes kind of man.
Yeah.
I'm a desert golfing kind of man.
Threes is a good game.
I'm a Crossy Road kind of motherfucking man. How much Crossy Road have you played?
I've not played any Crossy Road.
You need to play Crossy Road.
Is it Crossy Road?
And after you play about 10 hours of Crossy Road, then you need to play Pac-Man 256.
Okay.
Pac-Man 256 is fucking great. It's made by the Crossy Road people.
Yeah.
And it's Pac-Man, it's just like Crossy Road. Crossy Road is Frogger, but forever.
Sure, yeah.
Pac-Man 256 is Pac-Man, but forever. It just scrolls up.
Scrolls upward.
And it's fucking incredible. And the cool thing is, you're racing against a kill screen, so you start getting corruption at the bottom of the screen. It's fucking great, man.
That's pretty cool. Yeah.
Pac-Man 256 is dope.
Interesting. Could either of those be downloaded on the Apple TV?
They showed a version of Crossy Road going on there. I would assume that's, it's got its own, what they're calling TVOS. It's not an iOS device.
Sure.
Its remote is motion sensing, plus it has kind of a touchpad-y sort of thing on it.
Mm-hmm.
I believe it's got one input button. It will also support game-style controllers, so Xbox-looking controllers.
Sure.
They don't have an official Apple one, but there is one that they're officially endorsing.
Yeah.
But it's not like, just go buy this thing, it'll come with a controller. That's not that way.
Okay.
So it's interesting. In the days leading up to that announcement, everybody was like, oh man, Apple's getting in the race. I'm like, no, they're fucking not. Apple has never shown any kind of interest in video games ever.
Yeah, ever.
Ever.
Yeah.
The fact that there are video games on iOS is immaterial.
Yeah.
They just view it all as apps. They're like, oh, you want to make a video game or whatever? Fine. What the fuck ever. Yeah. I don't give a shit.
Call it an app and we're done.
Yeah, just we'll put it in our app store so it'll be next to a fucking calendar.
Yeah.
You know, they don't give a shit about video games, and they never will. And that's fine. That's just not the business that they're in.
Exactly.
And I'm sorry. I don't care how many billions of dollars you see video games raking in right now. It's a really bad time to try to throw a hat in that fucking ring right now.
Yeah.
Because it's about to be a goddamn bloodbath in the next few years.
Yeah, yeah. When AAA companies are like, one bomb away from just going out of business, period. It's just, you know.
Oh, speaking of a bloodbath, did you hear that GameStop news?
No, I didn't hear GameStop news. What was the GameStop news?
Well, this is just one more step towards them showing, like, a degree of concern. Right. The financials have been great.
Right.
But on a investor call last week, they announced that they are no longer going to sell any bundles that come with digital copies of games. Oh. The bundles sold at GameStop stores have to come with physical games.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Because if you think about the way that their ecosystem works, it's all about they make, on a $60 game, they probably make $10 to $15 profit on that.
Sure.
On a used game, they make 100% profit.
Right.
They're basically doubling their money. So if they're going to sell for $50, they'll give you $25 a lot of times.
Right, yeah.
So they're doubling their money there. The percentages are considerably higher.
Right.
Especially at a game that's like $10. Most of the time, we're giving like a quarter to 50 cent for those games.
Mm-hmm.
Not that I know anything about how GameStop operates. But just go check, you know, what the values are. If you want, you know, go look at like a last year's Madden. Probably sells for $15. And go check on their app what the trade value is, but it's a dollar.
Yeah.
So, you know, they're making hand over fist profit on that.
Sure.
But, you know, and it's aimed towards a demographic of user that, you know, knows that they could probably get a few bucks more selling it on eBay or on Craigslist or something, but they just want to walk in and walk out and not worry about it.
Sure, sure.
But yeah, it's that's an interesting development coming out of GameStop.
Yeah, that is interesting. Other bit of news, in console game production, Konami has halted all of their console game production, which is something...
Except for Pro Evolution Soccer.
Except for Pro Evolution Soccer, which is something that
called
you... Something you pretty much said, so...
Yeah,
when you let go the entire, Kojima team, and, you know, it's just like, of course...
Yeah, after that, you know, the writing was on the wall after, like, Castlevania Lords of Shadow 2 shipped, and then they cut that entire team off, and then canceling Silent Hills. It's just, you start looking at this going like, oh, that's how that's going, huh?
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
there are two ways that kind of thing goes. It's a Midway or THQ situation where they push all of their money into the center of the table and say, fucking let it ride!
Yeah.
Or you quietly bow out. Mm-hmm. Konami being a much more considerably successful company than either of those, they were not going out of business.
Yeah.
Video games were making them money, but it was also costing them a lot of money. And at a certain point, they just said, we'll stick with what we do well.
Yeah, yeah. And making pachinko machines. And
there are like a lot of people that are really like... angry?
Yeah.
For some reason with Konami, like, oh man, those fuckers. It's like,
well, I mean, you know,
they're a company. They're a multi-billion-dollar entity.
There was that bit of the conditions for a lot of the people in the Kojima team and everything. Like
a lot of the stuff that came out about that, yeah. I find really funny though. It's like, oh, we didn't have access to the internet at our job.
Yeah.
So? Go talk to any fucking factory worker anywhere.
It's true.
They don't have goddamn access to internet. They don't fucking need it.
It's true.
It's like, oh, I didn't have my own, you know, private work email account. So? Who gives a shit?
That's true.
Like, you know, where it does get to be a problem is like, you know, long hours, low pay,
stuff like
you know,
that.
People who were caught speaking out about the company, you know, like being shuffled down to lower positions and stuff. I mean,
sure.
You know, it don't like, don't eat.
Yeah. Yeah.
Don't like your work conditions?
Yeah.
Get a better job.
Get a better job, yeah. It's not exactly it's not exactly a small playing field in the games development area. So
No, it's one, it's definitely something that's I understand Japan is different.
Yeah.
I do. I get it.
Mm.
But, you know, people who are young and plucky, that kind of thing, like you are basically building a resume.
Yeah, that's
and
true.
It's like, yo, I was on, you know, a successful team at Konami. Shouldn't be that hard for you to find another job.
Yeah, it's true.
You know, we shipped product.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, a lot of those people, it gets really tricky if you're part of a team and it's like a really long development cycle, something like a Metal Gear.
Right.
Where it's like 5 years that you're working
five
on this
years
game.
You're working on
if
one
at
game.
The 3-year mark, you're like, man, these people are treating me like fucking garbage. I'm going to leave. gets tricky because you haven't shipped a game yet.
You're on a team that hasn't shipped a game
it's
yet.
It's like, yeah, like, that new Metal Gear will probably be okay, but like...
There's no real, like,
But until you can say, I shipped two games with 90 or above Metacritic ratings, that's...
Right.
You know, that's when that starts meaning something. But yeah, like, I don't know, Konami is who Konami is. Like, yeah. I don't think that they're going to start selling off IP. Yeah. They'd have done that already.
Yeah, yeah.
They don't need to. And also, a lot of their IP has had some bad times recently. Like, the Silent Hill franchise, good God.
Well, PT was the biggest, that was, like, the most positive thing coming out of that franchise in a long time.
For the last 9-10 years, they've been dragging that franchise through the dirt.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And there hasn't been a good Silent Hill game in a very, very long time.
Yeah.
And
the best one was a playable teaser trailer. So, yeah.
See, there's a bunch of guys that are basically making PT.
Yeah, I did. It's kind of interesting.
It's kind of interesting in the sense that, like, I think they might get sued.
Yeah, they might get sued for that if they care at all. It's kind of like the people who ROMed Earthbound 3. And like they were like, yeah, we're gonna do Mother 3. They're gonna do Mother 3, and they're gonna release it as Earthbound 3. And like they even stated on their thing, it's like if Nintendo doesn't want us to do this, just say it, and we will stop all. And they never got a word from it. Like Nintendo did not care one iota that they were doing it, and that's like almost more insulting than suing them. Oh jeez.
I nothing you.
I don't care.
I don't hate you. I nothing you.
I care so little about this franchise and your fandom that I don't care about any of this. So yeah.
All right. So we have TV on in the background. I'll just say this.
Mm-hmm.
They really started popping out new Subway commercials pretty quick, didn't they?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
They really rejigger that ad campaign.
Kind of had to. Can't really blame them.
They can't really show those old ones anymore, I guess.
Nope. They have a whole back catalog that they cannot show a single one of anymore.
Imagine how many they already had filmed for like this football season and shit.
Absolutely.
It's like, oh, damn it.
Well, got to refilm all that. So.
Jared, stop fucking children.
Oh, Jesus. yeah, so, how about the Persona 5 trailer, huh?
Woo!
Yeah! Cool. That looks cool. That looks rad as hell. I can't wait for that game. That looks cool.
Well, we have, like, 10 months to finish, Persona 4 before that comes out.
I think that's doable, isn't it? I mean...
Do you see the other thing that they also alluded to at the end of that?
No, I didn't.
At the end of the presentation where they show the, you know, where it's, they keep showing the big P,
yeah,
small Ursona, and then a big five, at the very end, it's, you know, coming to P4, P3, and then, like, some of the letters are blurry, and a lot of people are thinking that that's alluding to a Persona 3, Persona 4 collection for the PS4.
Oh,
cool. They haven't confirmed nor denied that, but, you know, they've got a good deal of time. I mean, if... In the January, February time frame, if they were to release like an HD version of that,
right,
that wouldn't be a bad idea.
Okay,
that will piss me off because we're in the middle of a playthrough of that right now.
Yes,
and I won't be playing the best version of it.
We can switch to the best version.
Just no, get we to that can't.
Part. Yeah, just get to that part, and then we'll switch out. Yeah, you have to play it twice.
God, how many times am I gonna have to play through that game?
Oh God,
as many times as I goddamn want.
Well, we got to finish this off as quickly as possible. Then, how about that?
And then
we will have played the best version.
Yeah,
as time is such. So yeah,
yeah, we need to start. At some point, I think we need to start ramping up to. Doing like 45-minute to an hour long
episodes, absolutely, yeah. The new series, the new run of lag will be hour long
and basically. Sound better,
and it will sound better. There will be no buzzing in the background. Sorry about that, but yeah,
it sounded like we were sitting inside an air conditioner.
It did. It was like because it was.
I don't know what was up with those.
It was our bad mic. Well, it wasn't our bad mic. It was our bad software. So we had bad software at the time, and. I had to ramp up our low points, and it just caught something in the background that was really bad. But I don't have to do that anymore, because this new software that, like, totally does it all for me and regulates it all, and it's great. So
regulators, mount up.
It's pretty great. So yeah, we might maybe be playing that after this podcast. Who knows? Maybe pull back the curtain a little bit. But that's it for the news.
There should be new episodes of Persona 4 Persona Experiencing 4. Lag.
Experiencing lag. Hoss, what you been playing?
Two games. Yeah. I'll start with what everybody knows I've been playing. I played a lot of 4-6. That game.
It's a cool game.
Man.
That's a cool game. We played a little bit of that before the last one, the last podcast we
did. That game is a well-put-together package. It's very complete. It has a fuck-ton of tracks in it. Mm-hmm. It has maybe not, like, it's definitely not, like, the biggest list of cars I've ever seen, but the cars that are in it, they all look and sound and feel so good. Mm. So the first thing I did was I bought a fucking Dodge Challenger Hellcat. And I have to buy one of those. My SRT 392 is now no longer enough car. I need that Hellcat.
You need the Hellcat now?
Yeah. And the thing that gets me about that is that the sound on that car is so precise and so correct and so perfect.
Yeah.
Like, you'll get into first gear and you can hear a little bit of that supercharger whine.
Right.
But by the time you're in fifth gear, it's just screaming at you. And you're like, man, this is fucking cool.
This is why you can't have less than two jobs.
Yeah. This is why I work like a fucking dog.
This is why you kill yourself with work.
Yeah.
Because you have to have these cars.
But, yeah, I love the game. It looks incredible. It plays incredible. It's got everything, like, track-wise, content-wise, that was in Forza 5.
Yeah.
And then some.
Yeah.
The track list is incredibly, incredibly impressive. Mm. It is the most comprehensive list of tracks I have ever seen in a game.
Wow.
And they're all real-world locations. They're all based on real geometry. They do that thing where they, I don't know if we've ever talked about it before, they have this truck. Yeah. It's like a big semi-truck that has a bunch of lasers on it.
Right.
And they just drive it around the track and it laser maps everything so that everything is correct.
Right.
Like the tunnel turn at the Nürburgring has never been like this before.
Right.
It feels perfect.
Wow.
And, you know, like, you tell somebody, like, oh, the Nürburgring's in it. And they're like, yeah, it's in fucking every game. It's like, no, you've never driven it like this.
It's like, no. It's in this one. Yeah, it's like, you're in the Nürburgring.
That was the thing that was really funny. When Forza 5 shipped, it initially didn't have the Nürburgring in it.
Right.
They added it, like, 7 months later.
Yeah.
And everybody was like, the fuck, there's no Nürburgring? I was like, guys, we've had a lot of Nürburgring. I don't know if you know this.
I don't know if you've noticed, but we've had
it's
this
in, like, every game. But they eventually put it in. It's great, and it's better here. Playing the Nürburgring in the wet.
Oh, wow, yeah.
Is fucking awesome. We talked a lot last time about the water technology and the pooling and how all that stuff works to affect the handling of an automobile. It's all incredible. It's all here. It's I'm glad I gave them $100, and if they want more, I'll give them more.
There you go.
You know, if they were to call me tomorrow and be like, oh, we need like $50 more, baby, I'd be like, yeah, that's fine.
Sure, why not?
There you go.
Here's another $50. I'll give you anything. You spend a lot of money on those guys.
Yeah, I'm really, really seriously considering the Logitech G920 racing wheel.
Yeah.
With the manual gearbox add-on pod.
Wow.
It's a total of $460.
Jesus Christ.
It's really nice, though.
It better be for
the pedals are all steel.
You better be able to, like, hook that onto your real car.
The pedals are all steel and the clutch is weighted.
God.
And it's fucking incredible.
So you'll basically be driving a car in your living room.
Yeah.
Isn't that great?
Right now I'm just sitting in my living room going
I've seen it. It's kind of a sad sight.
Oh, lost traction.
I left immediately. but the other game that you've been playing...
Is a front runner for Game of the Year.
Yes, it's a game that everybody's been playing, obviously. But that is Metal Gear.
Yeah, I'll say this first. Let me just get this out of the way.
Uh-huh.
I don't care if you like Metal Gear. I don't care if you've ever played one before. Right. I don't care if you played Ground Zeroes. I don't care what you know. Go out and buy this video game. You don't need to play Ground Zeroes. It doesn't fucking matter.
Mm-hmm.
You don't need to play any other Metal Gear. Play this Metal Gear.
It's
completely unlike any Metal Gear they've ever made.
Mm.
In so many ways. In so many tangible, meaningful ways.
Right.
This game is simply incredible.
Right. Yeah. It looks really cool. It really does. The beginning of this game is one of the most intense things I've ever witnessed, honestly. It just is like, you're in a hospital, you're basically emaciated. Like, you're just like, you know, you've
been in a coma for 9 years.
You've been in a coma for 9 years, so there's no muscle on you whatsoever. The doctors apparently have been massaging your leg muscles to make sure that they're still viable, but your arms are skinny, everything. You got shrapnel
sticking out of your fucking skull.
Yeah, you got like a horn. You're missing
most of a goddamn arm. Yeah. Everybody in this universe, missing an eye, missing an arm.
Missing an eye, missing an arm. That's how it works.
Miller takes it a step further, missing part of his leg.
Yep, mm-hmm, yep. It's really interesting. They do this part where like you select how you're going to look, I guess, and then Snake doesn't end up looking like that, but that might be somebody else.
That's your Metal Gear Online character.
Okay, it's your Metal Gear Online character.
Yeah,
okay.
So basically the doctor's like, we have to disguise you to make you look like somebody else. We're going to give you plastic surgery. What do you want to look like? And then you pick it, and then he's like, all right, we're going to do this. And then he gets murdered.
Yeah, yeah, he gets garroted pretty brutally.
And this is before there's a flaming space whale.
Yes, this is before the flaming space whale.
The flaming devil man.
There's a man on fire with, I call him...
Not Denzel Washington.
No, I call him Lens Flare Man because he's made of lens flares. But yeah.
Everything in this game is made of lens flares.
But him especially, like he's a walking lens flare.
It's like 1999 and the Dreamcast just came out all over again. It's like, guess what? Lens flare, boom.
it's like a J.J. Abrams at his prime.
Yeah. This is fucking Star Trek 1.
Yeah. This is like everything's lens flary. But yeah, you end up going to Afghanistan for a while and you'd knock around there for a bit. This is basically the origin story of Big Boss, basically.
This is the final construction of Mother Base. This is, at some point in this game, you know, I don't want to go into the story beats too far beyond just kind of the prologue.
Sure.
But, you know, this leads into how Big Boss supposedly gets back in the good graces of the United States,
mm-hmm.
because if in the original Metal Gear, not Metal Gear Solid, the original Metal Gear,
right.
For the MSX, Big Boss is on your side.
Right.
And then he betrays you. So this is, one would assume, unless they retcon that, going to lead into how he gets back in the good graces.
Right.
They do a fairly... There's a little bit of that Hideo Kojima, like, just kind of brushing stuff away with one hand and shaking keys at you with another hand. It's like, okay, Cypher wanted to murder you, so they showed up at the hospital and they were going to murder you. But now everybody else knows that you're alive, so, and they work through PMCs, so the PMCs won't come and murder you because they respect you. But Cypher still wants you dead, but you're good for business. What?
Look over here. Look over here. You're fine.
Yeah, it's
like you basically slaughtered an entire hospital just to get to me, and now you're just kind of cool with it.
I'm really confused as to, and I guess we'll figure it out as the story goes on, what's real and what's not.
Right, yeah.
Like, I refuse to accept that Fiery Space Whale was real.
Well, yeah. Well,
and the doctor tells you that where the shrapnel's pressing into your cerebral cortex,
right,
that you will have hallucinations and see things that aren't there.
That aren't there, yeah.
So, and was Fireman not really there?
There's also the character Ishmael, whose face is bandaged up.
But has the voice of Big Boss, who isn't able to talk in that scenario.
Yeah.
But then as soon as he leaves there, can talk just fine.
Can talk just fine once he's gone.
It's like Ishmael was the voice for Big Boss when Big Boss was unable to speak.
Yeah. His face was also bandaged up, which leads me to believe that that is your online character. I don't know, though. So, because he's got a bandaged up face.
He dies.
Yeah. But he does.
He dies.
He kind of just disappears, doesn't he? Like, he was
he gets killed.
Does he? Because he's in the Bambalance.
Yeah, he does disappear.
Yeah, he hits Man on Fire with the Bambalance, and then, I don't know.
Oh, but shit! Yeah.
But we'll see. We'll see what happens.
All right, sorry, I got distracted. Buffalo's almost caught up to New England.
Yes, they did.
Go Buffalo.
Go Buffalo.
Fuck the Patriots.
We'll leave that in. I'm not editing that out.
No, fuck the Patriots.
So yeah, no, it's one of the most intense openings I've ever seen. It's pretty insane.
That first hour of that game is incredible. And then you get a puppy.
And then you get a puppy, yeah.
And his name is D-Dog, and that's awesome.
Is that your name for him, or is that...
No, that's his name.
Oh, that is the name.
Because
okay.
Everybody gets a D in front of their name.
Okay.
See, like your horse is D-Horse.
Okay.
Because he's one of the Diamond Dogs.
Diamond Dogs, gotcha. Okay.
That's the name of your PMC.
So D-Dog is basically Diamond Dog. That is... He's Diamond Dog Dog. Is that his full name? Diamond Dog Dog?
Dog Dog.
Diamond Dog Dog. Hey, dog.
They just call him Dee Dee. Dee
Dee. Hey, Dee Dee.
Which is awesome.
That'd be awesome.
And Ocelot's raising him.
Yeah.
And that game's great. Oh, man, that game's great.
It's a good game. It's a good game.
Fucking shooting people into the sky with a goddamn balloon is fucking great. It's hilarious. Every time, like, you put a Fulton balloon on these people... And they hover to about 10 feet above the ground, and they hang there for like 5 seconds. And
right.
Shoot into the sky.
Shoot them into the sky.
And get taken back to your base.
And that's it.
Every time you go to Fulton, somebody gives you the odds that they'll survive.
Right.
You know, it's, we'll say, you know, like 30%, 80%, 90%, 100%.
Right.
So basically it's in your best interest, because you need to stock up your mother base. So
right.
You need to basically incapacitate people. You know, either knock them out,
mm-hmm.
or shoot them with a tranquilizer, something like that.
Right.
You know, put them to sleep.
Which has changed your way of playing, actually.
It has. I'm a balls out fucking murder people guy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not doing that this time.
Yeah, because there's resources to collect now. You can collect the people.
Yeah, and even like you know, fucking you know, special agents from, like, you can Fulton everybody.
Yeah.
In this game. Every character in this game can be Fulton.
Wow. That's crazy.
It's all animals in the world can be Fulton. Like, that's how I got D-Dog. There's a bunch of fucking sheep that are walking around my mother base now.
I love the fact that you can just, like, oh, it's Dog. I want to Fulton him up.
Yeah, fucking just tranking a sheep right in the face. And then shooting him into the sky.
I just, like, I picture, like, being back at home base, like, what the fuck are you sending us? Why'd you send a sheep?
Why did you Fulton a barrel to us?
Why
do I need a barrel?
I don't know. I might need a barrel.
Seemed pretty sweet. Just goofing around with some buddies. Like, I'm trying to convince my friends to play this game. None of them want to play it because they're like, I'm over Metal Gear. And that's fine, whatever. But I'm like, you need to understand, this isn't a Metal Gear game. It's not.
Yeah.
It's not one of those.
Right, yeah.
Like, because I was saying up until incredibly recently, don't give a shit.
Right, yeah.
I don't want another Metal Gear game. This is not a Metal Gear game.
Mm.
It doesn't feel like that. None of that old shit matters.
Mm.
It's fucking immaterial
to
this experience. So I was watching a guy play last night.
Yeah.
And he tranked a whole shitload of dudes and threw them in a Jeep and then Fulton the Jeep full of dudes. Which I thought was great.
That's pretty okay.
We're in a Jeep in the sky. It's great. I laugh all the time while playing this game. I alone in my house.
Yeah, yeah.
Laughing out loud.
Laughing out loud.
That's dumb.
This is great. I'm gonna fold this sheep.
You have a fucking rocket punch with your robot arm.
Oh, of course, you know.
He says rocket punch.
That's pretty beautiful.
Yeah. Fucking hearing Kiefer Sutherland
say rocket punch.
Rocket punch.
That sounds fantastic.
Kiefer Sutherland's performance in this game is really good.
Yeah. Yeah.
I had my doubts. I mean, especially like in fucking Ground Zeroes. I think he had like 4 lines of dialogue.
Yeah. No. Yeah. It's a bit weird because, like, I know they wanted him for a more nuanced performance, but it's just like Snake barely says anything anyway. It's always like, what's that? And then they'll tell him what it is, and he goes, okay. And then he has to go do the thing. I don't know. Like
the thing, you know, where I am in this game is still relatively early. I'm going to lead into some light spoilers here, so maybe skip ahead like 5 minutes.
Right.
Yeah, maybe we'll put a timestamp in the description, but sure. Skip ahead like 5 minutes if there's not one. Here's some light spoilery kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
From what I've been told, you can finish this game around mission 20.
Okay, yeah.
I'm on, like, mission 8.
Okay, yeah.
It's, you know, I'm maybe 5 hours into it. I'm still relatively early.
Sure.
This game, you can apparently easily spend, like, 80 hours to 100 hours in it.
Sure.
This is a fucking Metal Gear game.
Yeah.
And you can spend 100 hours in it.
Yeah, you can do
so
whatever.
That's clear evidence. This is not a Metal Gear game.
Yeah.
This feels nothing like that. Mm-hmm. Dude, I have a fucking helicopter that has a speaker on it.
Okay. And
that when it fucking flies in, it plays that song from the end of The Breakfast Club. The don't you forget about me. It's fucking great.
That's pretty awesome.
It fucking just blares this song when it's flying in. So the whole time it's like, I'm calling in for backup. And shooper, 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 don't you forget about me.
Do you program what that says?
Yeah.
The game? Okay.
Well, like, the great thing is, all around the world, there are fucking boom boxes everywhere that have cassette tapes in them.
Sure.
And sometimes it'll be Intel. Sometimes it'll be news reports, right. And then other times it'll be, like, fucking songs.
Right, yeah.
So I've got like, fucking, like, Rebel Yell from fucking Billy Idol.
He's a rebel yell.
I say, mo. And at any time, you've got a fucking Walkman with you, you can just turn on fucking these songs.
That's pretty great.
And they're
great.
All, like, 1980s songs, because it takes place in, 84, and,
it's pretty great. I feel like they were, like, watching Guardians of the Galaxy and was like, that's a pretty cool idea. And they just made that into the game.
Well, and the great thing is, there's no codec anymore.
Right, yeah. No codec at all.
There's no codec.
No codec. So that's not a Metal Gear game.
So you're not sitting there fucking holding your finger at your ear, unable to do anything.
Right, yeah.
Before you go out on a mission, a guy will just chuck a cassette tape at you and go, here's your intel.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
And you just walk around with the intel playing. So it ends up like the Voxaphones or the audio logs from, you know, like Bioshock.
Bioshock, yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's incredible.
Yeah, there you go. Boom.
I love this game.
you clearly do.
It's unlike anything I've ever played before.
Yeah.
It plays so good. Shooting people feels so good.
Shooting dudes is pretty great.
It's
in this game.
Fucking awesome.
Put that on the back of the box. Like, shooting dudes, pretty great.
It's, oh, dude. And just, whenever something goes wrong, I just start slinging grenades everywhere, and it's fucking great.
Oh, there's too many people here. Just throw grenades.
I play that game much like I do most games wrong. I go nuts. That game, I can't say enough about it. It's incredible.
That's pretty awesome. But yeah, I think that's going to do it for
that 99% probability that will be my game of the year.
All right. Well, there you go. Beats out Massive Chalice. Yeah. Yeah.
It seems to be in a league of its own.
It will be very interesting to hear your game. A lot of games you really enjoyed this year. So,
well, a lot of stuff coming out that are heavy hitters.
Yeah. Yeah.
You got Halo.
Yeah.
You got Fallout.
Yeah.
You got Just Cause.
Yeah. It's true.
Shit.
Your top 10 is going to be interesting.
You got Rainbow Six Siege.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's a lot.
Yeah. Your top 10 is going to be interesting this year. So.
Yeah. My top 10 list is entirely in flux at any given time. And, like, and you've heard the way that I rant and rave about, like, Forza. I don't even know if it'll make the list this year.
Wow, that's crazy.
Like, there's so many fucking amazing games that are already out.
So much.
And better stuff coming.
Yeah, yeah. Man, it's a completely different realm from when you were at the beginning of the summer. So, yeah, because you didn't care about this game at the beginning of the summer. You didn't care about this game at all. And
no.
It's like,
I mean, and there's still stuff that I haven't spent a ton of time with that came out earlier this year.
Yeah.
Like, at some point, I'll play through Batman.
Yeah.
I'm sure that game's great.
Yeah.
It didn't appeal to me with what I had played of it.
Sure.
But I'll go back and finish Batman. I always do.
Sure.
There's the fucking Witcher.
Yeah.
I haven't finished that
at all, yeah, so.
This year is st- stacked with releases, man. There are so many games coming out.
Yep. There you go.
And not a single one that I care about is exclusive to the PlayStation. So. I am playing Metal Gear on the PlayStation.
Right, yeah.
Because I know that none of my friends are going to get into Metal Gear Online. So,
right, yeah.
So. I'll just play through that. It, like, apparently runs a little bit better and runs at a slightly higher resolution.
Sure.
On PlayStation, so I just got it there. Whatever.
There we go.
Man.
Yeah.
Play some Metal Gear.
Yeah, there you go. And that's what you played.
It's even on the old systems. You know that, right?
Yeah, I did know that. Yeah.
That's fucking crazy.
That is pretty crazy that they reworked that into there.
Four platforms. No, five, because it's on PC.
Five, it's on PC.
Jesus
yeah.
Christ.
Yeah.
It's like a goddamn Madden game.
That's why they had 5 years. That's why they worked on for 5 years.
Well, it does show that that engine that they made is pretty goddamn scalable.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
It's a shame that nobody will ever use it again.
Yep. Yep. It'll be dead.
It's kind of fucked up.
It's kind of weird that it'll
they
be dead
two games
and terrible.
With it.
Yeah.
And PT.
Yeah. Such a shame. Anyway, moving on to another game with a unique engine to it. I believe this was built on a unique engine.
I believe it was their tech.
Yeah, it was their
definitely
tech.
Definitely had an interesting look to it.
It did, absolutely. Crash Bandicoot. That was basically the result of the forever look for PlayStation to have a mascot, which finally they realized they didn't really need. But during that time, they felt they needed a competitor with Mario and Sonic. They needed a mascot competitor at the time, is what their feeling was.
Yeah.
So, a lot of pitches were thrown out for what it should be. There was a wombat at one point.
Yeah.
I believe he was a bat, just a bat at one point as well, which got segued into a different game entirely. Yeah, but he ended up being a bandicoot named Crash.
Yeah, I'll say this: they made an interesting set of choices. They made a character, in a polygonal fashion that had a very expressive model.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
you know, the one thing that really I think kind of defines Crash Bandicoot is that he's in that 1990s Mountain Dew commercial commercial way.
He's very much
over
that.
The top and goofy.
Yes.
You know, it, but not in the "I'm such a badass." It's like, no, like, I'm just fucking goofy.
Yeah, he's just like
kind of way. It
yeah.
You know, he
silent protagonist doesn't.
Yeah, he didn't feel like overly overly like workshopped.
Yeah, yeah.
It didn't seem like they were, you know, that somebody, a marketing man had sat down and said, like, what's going to look good?
Yeah, exactly.
You know,
exactly.
Like, what's really going to reach out to that 18 to 24 year old male demographic?
You got to give him a skateboard because, yeah. You know, yeah, yeah. That sort of deal.
Yeah, it definitely.
They didn't poochie him up.
No, yeah. They did not poochie him. The thing, you know, Crash Bandicoot's was pivotal in me buying a PlayStation.
Right.
I did not buy a PlayStation at launch.
Mm-hmm.
I had bought a Saturn.
Right.
And was... I had to save up for a while for it. Funny story, I had my mom forge my birth certificate when I was 14.
Wow.
So I could work at a McDonald's.
Okay, yeah.
She had to be 16.
Sure, yeah.
So I had my mom forge my birth certificate.
Wow. So you were working when you were 14.
Yeah.
You had a job at 14 years old. Jesus.
And I think there's maybe been a combined 20 days since I was 14 that I haven't had a job.
Jesus. I experienced, I was friends with you during those 20 days, wasn't I? When I
still had a job.
Oh, you do. You still had a job.
I still had a job.
That's true. You still worked at...
It's the upside of having two jobs.
You still worked.
One job goes away, you still have a job.
That's true. Yeah, you did. You did have another job. That's right. Yeah. Okay. There you go. So, okay.
Yeah, I didn't have a PlayStation at first, but I knew I wanted one. I had gotten my hands on some of the early stuff, like Jet Moto, mm-hmm. Ridge Racer, which grabbed me pretty hard.
Right.
But one of the first games that I bought... when I got the system was MK Trilogy, which turned out to be a horrible mistake because MK Trilogy is awful.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I also got Crash Bandicoot.
Yes.
And I got Twisted Metal.
Mm-hmm.
And that was right before Twisted Metal 2 came out. So Crash Bandicoot in his funny antics, good commercials.
Yeah.
Was very instrumental in me deciding that a PlayStation was a good choice.
There you go. There you go. Yeah, Crash was a very, very Tasmanian devil type deal to him. Didn't talk. He was surrounded by caricatures and over-the-top type personalities to kind of segue out his little, like, non-personality that he had, you know?
He was very post-Bubsy.
Yes.
Is how I would describe him.
Yes, he was very post-Bubsy, yes. They didn't want Bubsy.
No, no, he's definitely informed by the tragedy that was Bubsy.
Yes, yeah. Actually, his gameplay style is very much like a corrected Bubsy, in fact. It's a back-facing camera. You're moving forward along a plane and jumping on platforms. And
except for the levels, they had a few levels that were the side-scrollers, then the levels where you're running at the camera.
At the camera.
Being chased by, like, the boulders.
By the boulders and the big pig. Like a big boar. When they're a giant boar.
You ride the boar.
You ride the boar.
And you know what's awesome about the boar stage?
Yeah.
Is that he looks at the camera before he hops on the boar and he raises his eyebrows a couple of times pretty quick. And I was like, that's kind of funny.
There you go.
It always made me chuckle.
He's winking
at you. Crash Bandicoot's a good guy. Yeah, he raises his eyebrows at you.
He's a good guy. But yeah, it's dead now. I mean, like, game wise, it is. People still remember it a lot. There was a long lifespan for a game character, for a franchise. What would you say the core game mechanics were for this? Because there was the breaking of the crates, which is where the Crash kind of came from. This is a Naughty Dog production, too, which is interesting.
Yeah, this is their first good game.
Yeah, yeah.
This is not to be confused with, God, what was that fucking 3DO fighting game that they had?
Did they have a 3DO fighting game?
It's fucking terrible! it's got a guy named Shaky Jake in it.
Oh, wow, okay.
It will come to me. Before the end of this podcast, I will pull that out of my brain.
Right, sure.
But yeah, this is kind of Naughty Dog's first big game.
Right.
The gameplay structure in this is pretty interesting. It's not a Mario 64 open world game.
Right. Yes, no, yeah, it's not.
It's not that.
It's not that, no.
Basically you running down a track.
Yeah.
They worked with the relative power of that system to build basically, think of it as almost like a behind-the-back side-scroller.
Yes, it is very much that. It's kind of like One, actually, when we talk about One.
It's a little bit like
Non-shooting version of One. Yeah, yeah.
The gameplay is a lot of platforming. It's a lot of like we mentioned earlier. There's there's basically a Mario self-scroller style level where you're riding the boar.
Right.
There's the level where you're running at the camera, where you're being chased by the boulder.
Yeah.
And the rest of it is there's some side-scrolling levels which are very difficult. That's kind of where they show off maybe some of the limitations of that game's platforming.
Sure.
Some of the frustrating nature of his double jump kind of rears its ugly head there.
Yeah.
Not anything that, is insurmountable or anything, but, that game gets a little bit more demanding in the side-scroller levels, but the main gameplay loop of this game is behind the back, running down a track.
Right.
So the gameplay is broken up into breaking boxes, collecting apples. I think they're apples.
Yeah.
They never come out and say it. but they're some kind of fruit.
Some type of fruit, yes.
Very similar to something that a Yoshi would eat.
Yes.
and then hopefully choke on it and fucking die, because fuck Yoshi. You'll basically jump on boxes. There are boxes that catapult you up to solve puzzles. And you'll also get a power-up in the form of what I call the Vodabuga.
The Vodabuga.
Because that's the sound that it makes. Whenever you get this weird little floating mass thing that allows you to get hit without dying, it's kind of like a one-hit shield. Think of it as like the shield from Sonic the Hedgehog.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Whenever you pick it up, it goes, Vodabuga, ba-doom-doom. And it's great. Very tribal feel to the music. Most of the levels in this game take place in jungle. You are fighting a man named Cortex.
Cortex.
Who's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Cortex
is pretty great.
Yeah, it definitely... not to the same degree. It kind of has, you know, bits of humor that are along the lines of, like, something that Ratchet and Clank would really capitalize on later.
Yeah.
A series that we did an episode on not long ago.
Absolutely.
You know, Sony found a formula with this. This was interesting in the sense that they really got behind this game, and they published some of these games, but they were not the developers.
Right.
This intellectual property was owned by Universal.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And this game got tied up in the Activision-Vivendi merger that happened in 2006?
Yeah.
Which made Activision become the largest third-party publisher in the world.
Right.
So that's kind of interesting. But this, you know, like, here's some of the publishers that have had their hands on this franchise. Sony Computer Entertainment, Universal Interactive,
Konami even
has Vivendi,
yeah,
Sierra,
yeah,
Activision.
Sierra had it at one point. Wow.
Well, okay, yeah. Sierra was part of the Vivendi structure.
That's right.
See, Universal was the originator brand.
Yeah.
And then they started shuffling a lot of their intellectual property to the Vivendi side of things. And then they were attempting to bolster the name of the Sierra brand because that had been flagging and languishing for some degree of time. So they started shifting more titles towards Sierra.
Right.
And then the merger happened, and that's where a lot of those games went.
Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah. And Konami's just like in a weird little spot there from, because there's some overlap. Konami has it from 2001 to 2006, during the same time Vivendi had it in 2004. 2003 and 2004.
Well,
so
Konami would publish on specific platforms. I believe Konami was publishing the portable
versions
of those games, and Vivendi was publishing the home versions.
The home versions, yeah, that makes sense.
So yeah, they're and. You know, you got to think around 2003, 2004, there were a lot of fucking platforms out there.
Yeah.
A lot of them some, arguably didn't deserve to still be around, but there were.
But they were there.
It was no game.com, I'll say that. That was a short window.
That was a short window.
You know, I have a game.com.
Do you?
I think it's fucking terrible.
Yeah.
Got a good version of Resident Evil 2 on it,
though. I haven't seen it. That you should probably show it.
You ever seen my links?
I've not seen your links.
Next time you come over, I'm going to bust out some links.
Bust out the links? Yeah, yeah. Because
that game.com, you'll just look at it and go, huh, that's dumb.
Yeah.
But the links, you may actually want to play a little bit. Yeah. Get some California games on there.
That's California
A little
games.
Blue Lightning.
Blue Lightning, yeah.
Get a little of that.
Yeah, there you
go. Got some Robotron 2084.
Robotron 2084. I don't know what that is.
I like the links.
Yeah.
You don't know Robotron? We played Robotron.
Oh, we did. That's right.
It was a realistic shooter.
Yeah, we did.
If you want to boil...
We didn't play on the links, though.
We did. But if you want to boil down
and
find out what I consider a video game to be,
it's
its rawest, like, closest to crack cocaine sense, it's Robotron 2084.
Robotron 2084.
Followed closely by Time Pilot.
Oh, there you go. Followed closely by Time Pilot. There you go.
And then maybe Revere Tapper.
So Smash TV style type stuff like that? Is that what
Yeah, I don't like Smash TV as much as Robotron.
Right.
I know everybody else prefers Smash TV.
Sure.
Nobody prefers Total Carnage.
Yeah.
Total Carnage isn't a bad game, but it's no Smash TV.
Right. Yeah.
And I still say that I love the aesthetic of Smash TV.
Right.
But that game is more of a coin sucker.
It is. It is definitely a quarter eater. Yeah.
It was just designed that way. It's not a fault of that game. It's just that's the way that it was designed.
That is what it was.
Fucking love Robotron.
There you go.
I think it's great. You are a robot child here to save the last motherfucking human family from the fucking robots.
From the robots.
Oh, man. We should play some fucking Robotron.
Yeah, we should.
I actually feel bad that there's no Robotron footage on our website.
Yeah, we should probably make some.
I thought we recorded that at some point.
We did record that. It never went up. For reasons kind of unknown even to me. So,
we should put that Robotron footage up.
Maybe we will. Maybe we'll do some new Robotron footage and like really get it in there.
You know what I like?
What's
Excuse
that?
To play Robotron.
Excuse to play Robotron? All right, we'll get some Robotron footage. But yeah. Basically Crash, you know. It had a weird lifespan. It had a lot of publishers. It had a lot of... A lot of developers were attached to that thing. How many developers were on it? I mean,
after Crash Nitro Kart, like on the original PlayStation, there was Crash. There was Crash 2, Wrath of Cortex, then Crash 3, which was Crash Warped, and then Crash Nitro Kart.
Yeah.
That's the final time that Sony put their weight behind that. It's the last time that they paid to publish one of those games.
Right.
So, and that concluded the PlayStation 1's lifespan.
Right.
So by the end of that generation, Sony had started to understand that maybe we don't need a mascot anymore. Yeah. Maybe the world's changed.
The world's grown up. The world has adapted. Nintendo, to this day, is still all about their mascots and all about their IPs, which is fine.
Sony had decided to not be plucky anymore.
Exactly, yeah.
Because they were releasing a video game system in the United States in the fall of 2000 that was not aimed at the plucky young consumer. It was a $300 box aimed at 18 to 34 year old males.
Yes.
You know, an argument can be made that maybe if they had angled their design hardware a little bit more towards that hardcore demographic, they probably could have made a bigger splash earlier, but it's still the most successful game system of all time.
Yes.
I think one of the
the PS2.
Yeah. You know, I think that the reason that Microsoft exists in the space is because they have angled themselves towards luring in the kind of people who would be attracted to a PC.
Sure.
Who want those hardcore shooter experiences.
Yeah.
And they still do better than anybody in the game.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's how they got a foothold. And so for the PlayStation 2 generation, Sony did take a much more mature stance. One of those things was not necessarily leaning into a platform mascot, although they did have their own.
Right.
They had Jack and Daxter. They had Ratchet and Clank.
Yeah.
They had Sly Cooper.
Yeah.
They went their own way. They basically, thanks Crash, you got us here.
Right, yeah.
But their whole marketing campaign, if you look at it from those early PlayStation days, it's the like the PlayStation 9 commercial that they had, which was fucking great.
Sure, sure.
The weird thing where like the strange baby head is staring at the PlayStation 2 and it starts levitating.
Yeah.
There's a lot of weird fucking marketing going on for that system.
Yeah.
But I think it was very smart because they knew that we'll need a mascot eventually.
Yeah.
But why have a mascot that's part of a company who's going to get a lion's share of the profits?
Sure, sure.
You know, they just, they understood that at that point, let's make our own.
Yeah.
You know, if you think about how much money was rolling in from Crash Bandicoot games that they had to hand out the door to Universal.
Right, yeah.
At a certain point, that just doesn't make sense anymore.
Yeah,
and the sad thing is that with Crash Nitro Kart, that was the final Naughty Dog-developed Crash Bandicoot game.
Yeah.
And as far as anyone's concerned, that's the end of the franchise.
Yeah.
There was about six more titles after that, if I'm not mistaken.
Some of the developers that took it over were Eurocom, Traveler's Tales...
Traveler's Tales, you know who they are?
No, who is that? I don't know who that is.
That's the fucking Lego people.
Oh, that's the Lego people. Okay, that makes sense. Yeah, alright, yeah. Those games are probably pretty decent then, the ones they put out. I don't know what they were. But yeah, Vicarious Visions.
Oh, Vicarious Visions. Those are, that's basically an Activision hit squad.
Okay.
They're the kind of people that, they would hire Vicarious Visions to do, like, ports of Tony Hawk games to other platforms.
Yeah.
They'd also bring them in to, make, like, you know, like Guitar Hero rocks the 80s, like the mid-year Guitar Hero games. A lot of those were Vicarious Visions joints.
There you go.
They were Activision in those days had a lot of hit squads.
Right.
That were here to just pump out another title in a franchise or a version of a title for old platforms.
Sure, sure. Yeah.
Like game... if I'm not mistaken, I would put my fucking reputation on this. I believe that Vicarious Visions is the people that made the Game Boy Advance versions of Tony Hawk games that were awesome.
Oh, okay. Interesting. Yeah.
Google that shit. I bet they did.
Google that. I'm going to Google that in a second here. Other people that had it was Dimps.
Fucking Dimps. They made a bunch of Dragon Ball Z fighting games.
Oh, did they? Ooh. Oh, that's no good for me. Let's see. Renegade Kid. Radical Entertainment.
Oh, Radical.
Radical had him for 5 years. Jesus. High Impact Games had him for a year.
Ugh.
And Polar Bit. I don't even know.
Know who the fuck they are.
I don't know what Polar Bit is.
I'll tell you this. If I don't know who they are, they ain't fucking nobody. They ain't
fucking nobody. What is Wow, I don't even have a wiki page.
Awesome.
That's how much they are. Yeah, Vicarious Visions. Tony Hawk Pro Skater 2 for the Game Boy Advance.
Yes! Who knows this shit?
You do, my friend. It's
I don't know how, like, I can't remember to pick up fucking trash bags at the store. Dude, I've seriously been using, like, I have not had garbage bags at my house for 3 weeks.
You should probably get some garbage
bags. Because I keep fucking forgetting them.
Yeah.
So I've been taking trash out in, like, fucking grocery bags.
Grocery bags, yeah.
Empty
yeah.
dog food bags.
Oh, that sounds terrible. You need to.
I'm a fucking horrible person.
You're a horrible person. You need to get some bags. You need to get some trash bags, bro.
But I remember who fucking.
But
Vicarious Vision is.
Remember Vicarious Visions developed Tony Hawk 2 for Game Boy Advance.
So God damn it.
So yeah, there's a lot of history with this franchise, and it's just weird to see that one that's just kind of like dead now, because it was prolific with PlayStation. Like you knew that was their go-to, that was the Sony brand, and I had no idea that Universal had a stake in it until not too long ago, and that's why they basically were like, we're not gonna really publish this anymore. If you guys want to publish with somebody else, then go do that, you know. So. I don't know.
Way of the Warrior.
That's the Naughty Dog fighting game. Okay.
All right. There you go. So I've been mulling getting a 3DO.
Okay. Yeah.
Because I have a copy of Syndicate for the 3DO that I bought recently.
Of course. Yeah.
I don't even own the system, but I was like, Ooh, Syndicate.
I'll buy a 3DO.
I like Syndicate.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So now I have a copy of.
3DO, I think I remember Syndicate. Way of the Warrior. Did it have a Scotsman in it? Like, I can't.
Yeah, and it's like. Yeah. It's like Mortal Kombat with way more frames.
Yeah.
But like semi 3D backgrounds.
Yeah. That game's terrible. Yeah.
It's fucking awful. I'm going to get a copy of Way of the Warrior. We're going to play for the website.
Yeah, we should do
that.
Let's
do a video to Strike versus Way of the Warrior.
Video to Strike versus Way of the Warrior.
I'm going
to
get really fucking good at Shaky Jake.
Let's do it. We'll do it, man. But we need to start recording some video game video destruct verses, actually. Get some dive kick in there, you know, stuff like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, yeah. I'll host the dive kick.
Host the dive kick, because you'll probably kick all of our asses.
I'm too good at dive kick.
You will dive kick all of our asses.
Yeah. Y'all get fucked up by my Mr. N.
that's good stuff, yeah. Well, Johnny Gat.
So godlike.
What about Johnny Gat? Johnny Gat? I thought that was your guy.
No.
Or you were just trying to beat the game with him because you had
to
beat
the game.
Yeah,
I just
wanted
to see who the ending was.
Because
the story mode in that game is delicious.
Delicious.
fucking kick storyline is Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
Yeah, Fresh
Prince of Bel-Air. That's a fucking great video game.
That's a good video
game. Dive Kick. Go buy that.
Go buy that.
It was on sale the other day. It might still be.
Go buy that.
By the time you read this, it won't be.
Interestingly enough, this game, upon the retro market, is not that marked up, interestingly.
No, it sold so goddamn well.
Yeah, it sold so well, so it...
And it's fondly remembered, but not widely revered.
Exactly, yes, yeah.
Because, you know, the number one thing I can say about Crash Bandicoot is that it was a flawed, charming game.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
It had a lot, it just dripped with charm.
Yeah, yeah.
But, I mean...
It improved with each successive one of the
Warped
1, 2,
3. Is great.
Yeah, Warped is, like, the best, like, that's considered by, you know, Crash Bandicoot fans to be, like, the best game, because
yeah,
it basically fixes all the problems from the other two.
Crash 2 fixed a lot of things. It was a bigger game, it was a more wide-open game, but it also added its own set of problems.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's one of those things where it kind of took, like, 4 steps forward and, like, maybe 2 back.
Right, yeah.
It had a little bit more charm, but it also kind of... in a lot of ways, hit a lot of the same notes that the first game did. Felt a little bit too similar. Warped is really where they added a lot more to the formula. They kind of brought their A game for that third game.
Sure.
They made Nitro Kart, which is better than any Mario Kart game.
Right. Yeah.
It's mm-hmm. great.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's like a good video game for humans.
Why do you hate Mario? Like, it's so funny because you like Mario Kart and yet you hate Mario Kart. It's such a bizarre little dichotomy with you.
Well, it's just, it's got the same problem that, like, all those fucking fun family video game Nintendo franchises have.
Sure.
Where it's fucking bullshit.
I know what you mean. Yeah, they have like bullshit mechanics.
They add way too much fucking random.
Yeah, when there's random involved to like make it like, oh, little brother can play and win, you know. Yeah, it doesn't bode well for the competitive people, you know.
Like I've been watching this Giant Bomb video series of them playing through Mario Party.
Right. Yes.
And
that's the ultimate fuck you is Mario Party.
They play it 50 turns.
Why do they play so many turns? You can set it to like 10.
Well, they play it 50 turns, 4-player. Good and God. The last one they did live in front of an audience at PAX, it was 4 hours.
Oh my God.
It was so goddamn long.
Oh my God, why would you do that? Yeah. Okay. And then
I strongly recommend if you have a Giant Bomb premium account, you have to fucking watch those videos.
Oh my God, that sounds hilarious. Yeah, go watch Giant Bomb. They're awesome. I love a lot of
I think
stuff.
anybody can watch the most recent one for Mario Party 4.
Yeah.
That's on YouTube. Anybody can watch that one because it was because they did it live and everything.
Live, yeah, yeah.
They made that one free.
Yeah.
Go fucking watch that.
If you got 4 hours of your time.
Holy shit.
You're working.
If you ever wanted to watch a person just slowly lose their fucking mind, watch Jeff Gershman that entire fucking stream. That man hates Mario Party more than I do, I think.
And yet he suffers through it. Because it's entertaining.
And they're going to play every goddamn one.
I feel like we need to get you to play more games you hate. Like, because that seems to be what gets people to watch something, is people who play a game that they despise in every way, shape, and form. That seems to be entertaining.
Do a fucking endurance run of Jet Force Gemini.
Yeah, endurance run of that.
Oh.
Crawling all the way.
Oh, I've been doing that in fucking Metal Gear.
Oh, yeah, just crawling everywhere.
You can sprint forward, and then there's, like, a leap.
Yeah.
Where you'll, like, just dive to prone. It's basically like a dolphin dive from fucking Call of Duty.
Sure.
I just do that everywhere.
Everywhere.
Just everywhere.
Slide into a crawl.
It's fucking great.
Slide into a crawl.
Good time. I love traversing a video game in a really stupid fashion.
Yes, you do. You enjoy that more than anything.
It makes me laugh.
It makes me laugh.
Then I throw a fucking Fulton balloon at a guy and go, ah-ha!
That's great.
If you dive into a guy and collide with him, it knocks him down. It's funny.
There you go. Yeah. Well, we got anything else to say about Crash?
Sorry, I'm distracted by Metal Gear. I'm
you're
always,
fine. Yeah.
That game is
it's a solid
taking
game.
My life away.
It's a solid game.
Ah.
That's for me.
Your puns
That's
are giving me a phantom pain over here.
Ooh! We're killing it today.
Yeah. Fucking transitions and puns. That's all we got.
It's beating it up today.
But yeah, yeah. I really think that history will not look fondly back on Crash Bandicoot.
Really?
I
see a lot of people do. Because it is kind of history now.
But do yourself a favor.
Yeah.
Like, go play Mario 64 and then go play Crash Bandicoot.
Yeah, yeah. It's true. Yeah. And then it's...
And one feels super old and one feels incredibly fresh even today.
Very true. Very true.
It's the nice
one
thing...
One still has mechanics that are still used in games to this day. And, yeah.
Well, the one thing I'll give Crash Bandicoot is that one of the reasons it was so foundational and so important was that, A, like, they used him in the ad campaign, and it was funny, and it was good.
Mm-hmm.
It was basically like the Kevin Butler, if you remember those.
Sure.
Of its time.
Sure.
It legitimized them, and it also gave you it let you rest easy. If you were somebody who still enjoyed a good platformer,
mm-hmm.
it's like, hey, we got one of those.
Yeah, yeah.
It may not be quite as good, but you've got something.
Yeah.
It's a, you know, like when you go to a fucking restaurant and you say, you got Dr. Pepper? No, we have Mr. Pibb.
Right, yeah.
Fucking
yeah.
fine.
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
exactly.
It's do you have Mountain Dew? No, we have Mellow Yellow. Whatever.
Whatever, fine. I'll take that.
Give me the fucking green thing.
I like Mellow Yellow. Anyway,
I like Mellow Yellow because they sponsor NHRA
oh,
and anything that to do with drag racing.
There you go.
So yeah. I even yeah. like RuPaul.
Yeah. In report, she likes drag racing. She's got a whole show about it, right?
Way into it.
It's got a whole show about it. Like, don't see any cars on there for some reason. It's real weird. You got on mute?
You know, this is probably not a question for the podcast.
Okay.
You know what?
Screw it. We're stretching this out. Let's go.
Got a user email here.
Yeah.
David Rocky from Louisville, Kentucky.
Yeah, yeah. David Rocky, Louisville, Kentucky.
So when RuPaul is dressed up like RuPaul.
Yeah.
RuPaul is referred to as a she. You use that pronoun, right?
I guess so, yeah. Yeah. I mean, yeah, you would.
But I see RuPaul all the time as like a guy,
as a
dressed up as a man,
in a suit, like a dude. Yeah. Do I have
to fucking like randomly flip my pronouns?
I don't know, because like, yeah, that's what I'm saying. Is like drag racing is like transgender is like one thing, because it's like, oh, I identify as this, so refer to as this.
Yeah, like my old manager at GameStop, like his boyfriend was a drag queen,
right? So,
and you know, like when he was in the dress, he had one name, but then like every other day he was Mikhail.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, I feel like it's, I don't know.
They're like, it's not like an identity thing. It's like basically playing a part. It's like playing a role.
Yeah, it's playing a role. It's theater. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's theater. It's like,
I don't fucking.
It's like vaudeville. It's like, I don't know.
I'm going to sound like some kind of horrible dinosaur. I don't fucking understand
any. No, I don't get any of it either. No, don't get me. You know,
I watched that fucking South Park episode this week.
I'm right there with you.
And like,
you PC, bro?
Well, and then I had to find out what cisgendered was.
Oh yeah, 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 yeah.
I don't fucking understand any of that.
That's Tumblr nonsense to me. I don't care what anybody says. That's Tumblr nonsense. And
the only thing I could figure out from all the research I did on the internet is that apparently cisgender is just a way to not say that somebody's normal, because it would be rude to say that somebody is transgender is not normal.
It's not normal, even though, anyway, yeah. It just, I picture you like in a dark room, like just getting deeper and deeper into this whole thing.
I felt like I was tunneling into the dark net.
Oh, yeah, yeah, you just tumble into the dark net. That is Tumblr. Tumblr is the dark net for sure. But no, I just look like I'm a polite dude. If you want to be referred to as a female, you were born a guy, you want to be referred to as a female now, I'll call you she, it's fine. I don't really care.
Yeah,
like, just
tell me what to call you and I'll call you.
Yeah, just let me know. That's it. There's nothing wrong with just letting me know, because I don't fucking know what's going on in your head.
Yeah.
Okay? Like, don't project your thoughts on me.
I don't care if you dress like a man and were born a woman but want to be called a banana. Just tell me
what the fuck you want, and I'll be polite about it. So, this took a real weird turn at the end there.
The internet is slowly destroying my life.
It is. It's slowly killing us all. I think we're all too connected at this point.
Well, I watched that South Park episode last week.
Yeah, yeah.
Really, there was a time when I was really, really, really politically correct.
Right, yeah.
To a point where I now see that I was probably almost being a dick about it.
You were almost a PC bro.
I was almost a PC bro.
You're almost a PC principal. There you go.
And that's the one thing I really respect about South Park, is their ability to just sit a mirror in front of you and go, just look at yourself for a little bit.
They will piss on anything.
This is how you're acting right now.
They will piss on any and all extremes. They just will, and it's awesome.
They have the ability to make anyone feel like an insolent child.
Yes, yes, and they're great at it. Like, even on themselves, they'll even turn it back on themselves, you know, like, oh man, like the Family Guy episode, they turn the joke back on themselves, like, oh, you know, pretentious assholes who don't think a cartoon needs to say something, you know.
Or the season where they realized that in the previous season they had basically everybody panicking at the beginning of every episode.
Yeah,
so then that entire season they made everybody panic until the last episode. And it's just the boys standing at the bus stop, and they're like, nobody's come screaming down the street recently. It's been really weird.
Then
that episode for like the first 5 minutes, nothing happens.
Nothing happens.
It's fucking great.
Yeah, yeah.
I really like that.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
That is gonna do it.
That's gonna do it for this episode. Crash Bandicoot. He crashes boxes and has a big mouth, and he's kind of fun to look at.
From what I know, he's cisgendered.
Yeah, from what I know, he's probably cisgendered, because he's, you know, he's got,
I think he identifies as a bandicoot.
Yeah, he probably identifies as a bandicoot, I would imagine, you know, so.
Self-identifies.
And, you know, so, a lot of fun characters in that. Maybe we'll see a revival someday or something.
I don't doubt it.
Yeah.
That's, you know, the one thing that you're seeing right now, I'll give you this as proof positive that we're due for a Crash Bandicoot, is, look at the price of Nintendo 64 and PlayStation games.
Right.
They're going up.
They're going up, yes.
People are buying them again, because the people who were 8 years old and 10 years old then are 30 now.
And now they have
money.
They have money and they're spending on it. That's why nostalgia is a big thing now. It, you know, The internet has allowed people to experience their nostalgia much easier.
Yeah.
And to acquire those things much easier with eBay and thing and online shopping and all that stuff. Even GameStop got into the practice of, you know, retro game sales and stuff like that recently. And it's just
That's the funny thing. I don't know if it's because of my age and my generation or whatever.
Yeah.
But the PlayStation 2 generation, that PS2, Xbox, GameCube, that is the last generation that I place any attachment to a physical item.
Sure. Yeah.
Xbox 360 games, PlayStation 3 games, I don't give a fuck.
Right, yeah,
like, I could just throw them all away.
I
place no value on games from that generation because games sold so well, so there's so many copies of them, there's no rarity, there's no sought-after nature to them.
It's true.
And almost all of them are available digitally.
It's true.
There's another format that's better that you can get that on.
Yeah.
A digital version of a game, I'm sorry to say this, is better.
Yeah, yeah.
Man. As long as it's a well-emulated version of that game,
right? Yeah.
It's better because I don't have to have something on a wall.
Yeah.
Now, the reason that may sound weird considering I'm a guy who has a wall full of video games.
Sure.
But my attachment is to the old stuff, the stuff that can't be emulated well now.
Mm-hmm.
The control schemes aren't analogous to those games.
Mm-hmm.
There's something about the older games that I prefer to play them on the older hardware.
Right, yeah.
And who knows, maybe that'll change later on, and maybe I'll just be like, fuck it, and just get a Raspberry Pi and emulate everything.
It's true. Yeah.
But as of right now, I still have a physical attachment to the media of those days, and that kind of wraps back around to my point. I mean, those games are still selling right now. People are collecting those games again, you know, and there's always room for a well-done 3D platformer.
Right, yeah.
The, you know, and we're staring down the barrel right now of that Ratchet & Clank reboot for that movie.
That's true, yeah, for the movie, yeah.
So, and if that appears like it's going to be a well-done remake of that original game.
Yeah.
And it looks like it'll be quite different in some ways than the original Ratchet & Clank. So it'll get people thinking more about 3D platformers. We've got to be getting pretty close to, like, a real Mario.
Yeah.
No offense to 3D World or the new Super Mario games.
Yeah.
That's not a mainline Mario game.
Right, yeah.
Mario 3D Land and 3D World were great.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But that's not a mainline Mario game. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, is it, you know,
it's not Galaxy.
The successor to Galaxy.
Right, yes.
You know, I think we're getting close to a time period for that. But they may just hold it out for their next system.
Yeah.
I don't know what Nintendo's timeline looks like.
No.
I see they announced a new president.
Yeah, I did. Mm-hmm.
It's, he's saying all the right things. Like, there's a lot of people who look at him and just see cold Japanese businessman, but,
you know.
It's,
what are you gonna do?
Iwata was like your dad.
He was. He was like, he was like your father. It was like a father figure.
I could listen to that man say Nintendo.
Nintendo.
For hours.
Yeah.
But you know, like, we've got to be getting close to due for, you know, for a new mainline Nintendo game. It'll get people thinking about 3D platformers.
Yeah.
You know. Yeah. I'm sure that Sony's going to have somebody look at, you know, Jak and Daxter or Sly Cooper again.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's room out there for a new Crash Bandicoot. It's done well.
Yep. I agree.
Or how about a real ass Spyro game?
Yeah. 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 How about Spyro versus Crash? Or Spyro Crash team up? That's a big thing. Superman, Batman, going to get Spyro and Crash. Going to do that. Going to have them versus each other. I don't know.
Yeah, it's really funny. Like, Insomniac Games,
yeah,
founded on a trilogy for the PlayStation 1 that was exclusive in the Spyro games.
Yeah, it's true.
Naughty Dog was founded on a trilogy of games for the PlayStation 1.
Yeah,
well, a trilogy and then a kart racing,
game. Then a kart racing game.
But you know, it's kind of funny how, like, that the PlayStation 1 generation, the long reaching tendrils from that system was so successful and it courted such a high caliber group of developers that's you know, there you can always reach back to that generation and say this exists today and it was founded here, you know. It ties back to this generation because of this. I really like playing the Kevin Bacon game with video game developers.
Right, yeah, yeah. Just the 6 degrees of separation for where this led to that, and there you go.
It's definitely you know, Crash Bandicoot, man. I like that franchise.
There you go. Cool. That's going to do it for this episode. Check us out on Facebook at facebook.com/VideoDestruct. You can also check us out at VideoDestruct.com, where most of our stuff goes up, but we also have our YouTube page. You can link to that all through VideoDestruct.com.
Like us on Facebook.
Like us on Facebook.
Follow us on Twitter.
Follow us on Twitter at VideoDestruct.com, or you can follow Hoss at Hoss_buddy.
Leave us a positive review on iTunes.
Yes.
One way for more people to find us, for us to be able to do cooler shit and have more listeners, is for, you know, people who leave positive reviews on Amazon. On iTunes.
On iTunes. We are told that that is a thing. We have no idea if that's true or not, but because iTunes will not release any statistics whatsoever, but it's fine.
like, I'm told it makes you parse higher in searches.
Yeah, we're told that it makes you parse higher, which is great. So please go on iTunes, sign in, do all that jazz. It's a big headache, I know, but just sign in, give us a positive review. It really helps us out.
And if you're normally downloading the, you know, you can get it through if you have an Android phone and you like to listen to your podcast there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're available through those services. Yep. So if you use like Podkicker,
or any of those apps, we're on there.
It's Stitcher.
You can get us on all those. It's all pretty available. We got our stream coming up in November, October. When
November.
Is that? November 4th, I think. I could be wrong, but yeah, we're going to say November 4th.
We've got, I think, like $250 already raised.
I've got
a bunch of people that are on board to kick in on that.
Yeah.
We're cannonballing towards $2,000.
We're cannonballing towards $2,000. We want to get $2,000 for the Coast Air Children's Hospital here in Louisville, Kentucky. But that stream's going to be happening on November 4th. If that is incorrect, I apologize. I will correct it now. Okay.
Eric says he's gonna be on the stream.
Eric says he's gonna be on the stream. I don't believe him. He says he's gonna parse in there between his job. So
I don't believe him.
Yeah, you don't believe him. Yeah, yeah. You don't think he's coming?
No, we should have quite a few special guests. I still have not decided what the fuck I'm playing. I've thought about doing the 24 Hours of Shenmue because it'd be funny.
Yeah.
I also think I would want to die.
You probably want to kill yourself at that point, I think. You know. The only way to keep that going, I think, is to switch it up into something else.
Well, we need to get some technology lined out first.
With that.
Like, you were ordering a cable to hook into our Elgato.
To the Elgato, yeah, to get some game capture stuff.
We need some technology back in to be able to do SD stuff, because once we actually have a reasonable means to record SD footage, we need to make sure that we can get it framed correctly so that it looks right, so that we're not stretching the image.
Yeah.
You know, so there will probably be some windowed boxing.
I'm not exactly sure
how we're going to work it.
Right.
But there's quite a bit of massaging that needs to happen with an SD image for it to look right.
Yeah.
And we want to make sure that whenever possible, we're giving you the highest quality shit that we can.
Yeah.
So there's some wizardry that would need to happen for us to be able to for me to be able to stream out Shenmue, without doing like some bootsy ass fucking emulators on a PC or something.
Yes.
So that's coming. The stream will happen.
Yep.
And I've had some people request that when it gets dark, we play Until Dawn.
Until Dawn.
Because that game can apparently be beaten in like 8 hours.
Yeah.
And is apparently pretty fucking spooky.
Okay.
I've had quite a few people request that based off of our Outlast videos.
Yeah, yeah. Those are pretty all right. That'll work.
Still didn't like that game.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, it was a high quality game.
It's high quality.
I just didn't like it.
Yeah. I didn't much care for that game either. PT's better. But yeah, that's going to do it for this episode. We will catch you next time on the Video Destruct Podcast.